Welcome to a special bonus episode of Hot Off the Wire. In this edition of our daily news program, we feature a selection of stories covering a variety of topics. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor of the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now, those stories from the Associated Press.
When Donald Trump was still running for president in 2024, he distanced himself from Project 2025, the Heritage Foundation's massive proposed overhaul of the federal government, on July 20th, 2024, in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
They come up with this I don't know what the hell it is. It's Project 25.
September 11th, 2024, in Philadelphia.
I have nothing to do with Project 2025.
But Trump posted Thursday morning on his Truth Social site that he'd be meeting with his budget chief, Russ Vought, quote, he of Project 2025 fame, end quote. Amar Moussa, who worked with the Biden-Harris campaign, says, quote, Donald Trump and his stooges lied through their teeth about Project 2025, and now he's running the country straight into it, end quote. When asked about Trump's reversal, White House spokesperson Abigail Johnson said, Democrats are desperate to talk about anything aside from their decision to hurt the American people by shutting down the government. Many of Trump's longtime allies and current and former administration officials drafted Project 2025. I'm Donna Warder.
Pentagon Chief Pete Hegseth says the U.S. has struck another boat near Venezuela. Hegseth says he ordered the strike because the small vessel was carrying drugs off the Venezuelan coast. President Trump says it had enough drugs to kill up to 50,000 people, implying it was entering American territory while off the Venezuelan coast. It's the fourth deadly U.S. strike in the Caribbean, and the first since revelations the president told lawmakers he's treating drug traffickers as unlawful combatants.
This is pursuant to his constitutional authority as commander-in-chief.
Spokeswoman Caroline Leavitt. Still, the assertion of presidential powers raises questions about just how far the administration will go in taking on alleged drug traffickers without congressional approval. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
Taylor Swift's 12th album, Life of a Showgirl, has been released. In Mexico City, Swifties counted down to midnight and the release. Many Target stores were open at midnight. In line was Hannah Zuckerbraun.
It's a lot happier sounding. I feel like it's perfect and upbeat, and I'm just like ready to hear it when I'm like out in the world now.
The album's themes explore fame, perception, love, and Travis Kelce's podcast. On the Heart Radio Breakfast Show in London, Taylor Swift says her favorite song on the album is Wishlist.
Things they want to buy or places they want to go, and then in the chorus it talks about what mine would be. And I'm really into that one.
Back in L.A., Maria Elena Garcia likes Taylor Swift for more than just her music.
She loves her cat, so obviously you could tell from her video, like her little marketing, like cat hair everywhere.
AP music reviewer Maria Sherman gives Life of a Showgirl 4 out of 5 stars. I'm Ed Donahue.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
PEN America, a nonprofit group dedicated to defending free expression, says the most banned or censored books in the U.S. are those written by Stephen King. PEN America's Banned in the USA list for the 2024-25 school year tracked more than 6,800 instances of books being temporarily or permanently pulled. That's down from more than 10,000 books, but still far above the levels of just a few years ago. About 80% of the bans originated in just 3 states, Florida, Texas, and Tennessee, and PEN found little or no instances of books being pulled in Illinois, Maryland, and New Jersey, which have laws limiting the authority of schools and public libraries to pull books. PEN says author Stephen King's books were censored 206 times, but the most banned single work of any author was A Clockwork Orange, Anthony Burgess's dystopian classic from the 1960s, which had 23 removals. I'm Donna Warder.
Flu kills a lot of people, Americans, every single year. I mean, some
Sometimes it's, you know, the tens of thousands, some of those estimates each year.
Dr. Philip Wong, director of Dallas County Health and Human Services in Texas, last year saw the most flu-related child deaths in 15 years. But experts say this month, October, is the ideal time to get protected before flu cases begin climbing in November. Dr. Wong again.
It's really important. It's preventable. These are effective. They're safe. Again, it's a very serious illness. It can cause very severe illness, hospitalizations, and even death, and it does that every year.
And if you don't like needles, the nasal spray FluMist is available for ages 2 to 49. I'm Ben Thomas.
The Supreme Court says they will take up a major gun rights case, Wolford versus Lopez. It concerns a law in Hawaii that bans guns on private property, unless the owner has specifically allowed it. Hawaiian law also prohibits firearms in places like beaches, parks, and establishments that serve alcohol, although that is not the focus of this case. President Trump's Justice Department argues that the state law violates the court's landmark 2022 Second Amendment ruling that generally gives people the right to carry firearms. Hawaii loosened its regulations around concealed carry permits after that ruling, but the Solicitor General says that because most property owners don't post signs regarding guns, the law functions as a near-complete ban on public carry. Attorneys for the state argue that the restrictions strike a reasonable balance between gun rights and public safety. Jennifer King, Washington.
President Trump is issuing Hamas a deadline over the Gaza war. On Monday, the president unveiled a new peace plan, standing alongside Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and gave Hamas a few days to respond.
We're not quite finished. We have to get Hamas, but I think they're going to be able to do this.
Today, the president writes Hamas must agree to the deal by Sunday evening. If not, he says, all hell, like no one has ever seen before, will break out against the group, adding there will be peace in the Middle East one way or the other. The peace plan would put Gaza under a Trump-led temporary governing committee and require Hamas to both disarm and release any remaining Israeli hostages. Sagar Magani, Washington.
The founder of a Texas megachurch has pled guilty to child sex abuse charges. Authorities say Robert Morris has pleaded guilty to lewd and indecent acts with a child after he was accused of sexually abusing a young girl in the 1980s in Oklahoma while he was a traveling minister. The Oklahoma Attorney General said Morris received a 10-year suspended sentence, with the first 6 months to be served in jail. The Attorney General said the abuse started in 1982 when the victim was 12 and Morris was staying at her family's home in Hominy, Oklahoma. The victim, Cindy Clemishier, who is now 55, said in a statement that justice has finally been served, and the man who manipulated, groomed, and abused her as a 12-year-old innocent girl is finally going to be behind bars. Morris resigned as a senior pastor of Gateway Church in Southlake, Texas, after the accusations were made public. I'm Haya Panjwani.
The Trump administration continues targeting Democrat areas with funding pauses as the government shutdown continues. The White House's budget chief says the administration will withhold $2.1 billion for Chicago infrastructure projects. Russ Vogt says the pause is intended to ensure funding is not flowing via race-based contracting. Vogt earlier this week said $18 billion in New York City infrastructure funding is also on hold, a move likely aimed at top Senate Democrat Chuck Schumer, whom the White House blames for the shutdown. The president is embracing Vogt's moves, posting a video of his budget chief as the Reaper wearing a hood. Sagar Magani, Washington.
Hey, this is Russell Wilson.
This is Joe Montana.
This is Dak Prescott.
Hey, this is Jason Kelce. You're listening to Rob Motti.
Rob Motti.
Rob Motti.
Rob Motti.
Welcome to On Football with me, Rob Motti. Week 5 starts. Some of the byes in the NFL. We've only got 14 games instead of 16 games this week. The Eagles and the Bills remain unbeaten. The Saints, the Jets, and the Titans are still winless. Our guest this week, two-time national champion quarterback, Heisman Trophy winner, first round pick in the NFL, Tim Tebow. Everyone knows Tim. Stay tuned for that conversation. I wrote a lot about injuries this week. I write a lot about injuries, it seems, every week. Tyreek Hill and Malik Nabers went down, season-ending knee injuries, back-to-back days. So many key players across the league, around the NFL, are getting hurt, and it seems like offensive linemen are going down week in and week out, and it stinks. You hate to see it. You hate to see teams playing shorthanded. The Ravens, seems like everybody on that team, half the defense are injured. Football's a violent sport. Injuries happen, and some of these are just non-contact freak things. Sometimes it's not the best team that wins in the end, it's the healthiest. Tim Tebow is one of the most decorated college football players in the sport's history. He was a first-round pick by Denver, went 9-7 as a starting quarterback in the NFL, won a playoff game, but didn't get much of an opportunity after that. Hey, Tim, the landscape of college football has changed with NIL deals, but it also seems some of the quarterbacks are more NFL ready. Why do you think that is?
I feel like in certain areas, there's quarterbacks that are coming into college more ready at times because of, I think, all of the 7-on-7 in middle school and high school, and then the offenses that are being run in high school, I think they're developing faster a lot of the times. Plus, there's so many different quarterback coaches out there doing different things that I think are also helping these young quarterbacks develop. And I think the systems that they're running in high school are closer to the systems in college. So I think a lot of times that can help. And so you're seeing a lot of guys, but also, even though they're ready to come in and play, there's still a growth that happens once they get to, you know, get to the FCS or get to the FBS or get to the, you know, these levels. There's still a growth and maturation process that happens, even though they're so good. Like, you look at Bryce Underwood and you're like, holy cow, that is a specimen. But even though he comes in and he's ready to play, you can still see he's developing week in and week out and growing, even though he's got such a high skill level. His, you know, knowledge of the game and experience is growing. And so I think they're, although they're coming in ready to play, there's still a level of growing that really can only take place in practices and games.
Yeah, and that happens at every level, right, Tim? From high school to college, college to the pros. And in the NFL, sometimes it seems some of these guys are getting only 1 or 2 years to develop some of the first round picks, and then teams get rid of them if they don't have instant success. We live right in an instant gratification kind of world, but then you see guys like Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Geno Smith, they get another opportunity, they get another chance, and they make the most of it. Do you think sometimes some players are just not getting enough time to develop or not getting that opportunity?
That's a good question. I don't know if, to me, it's as much about that next opportunity as it is finding the right fit. The right fit in a coach-player relationship, the right fit in scheme, the right fit with the right weapons around them. You just see so many of these quarterbacks go to certain teams, and instantly you see they're at a certain team, and it's just, you know, doesn't look like a fit, doesn't look like they're developing, and then they're at a different team, and all of a sudden they come alive, right? Because not everybody has the same skill set. Not everybody can do the same thing. And you need to find the right fit to bring out. One of the ways that, like, we'll talk about it when bringing people onto our team is, it's not just the right people on the bus. You have to be in the right seat on the right bus to really be able to flourish as a team. And I think you see different examples, like you mentioned, that get out of a certain situation into another, and they just look totally different, almost look like they can play free. And I think that's a sign of good coaching, good relationships, a quarterback that feels comfortable and also the right tools around him.
Tim, how cool is it that in an era of NIL and really in a society, a culture where it's look at me, look at what I've done, to kind of see what some of these athletes are doing and how they're getting recognized by the Allstate Good Works team for their off-the-field accomplishments?
Yeah, that's why it's absolutely one of my favorite awards in college sports or in sports in general, because there's so many that take place for what they do on the field, but this is one of the few that celebrates what they do off of the field. And I love that we have the Allstate AFCA Good Works team and these 22 young men and Coach Venerables as the coach, that we celebrate them and highlight them, and that we get to talk to you about them, because the world needs to hear their stories. And I would encourage all of the listeners to go to ESPN.com/Allstate and go check out their stories, because I believe they'll be an encouragement and an inspiration to you But I also want to encourage you to go vote on who you believe should be the team captain, who will also receive the All-State Werfel Trophy. And we really want you to go be inspired by their stories and go vote on who you believe should be the team captain. Because when you look at their stories, I believe it will impact you. It doesn't matter if it's Michael Taft from Texas or Josh Caddis from Kentucky or Richie Leonard from FSU or Adam Randall from Clemson or so many of these young men. You pick a story and read it, and it's going to impact your life. Because in a time in their life when people are putting pressure on them, when it's all about them, when it's about their season, when it's about, you know, all of this, they're saying it's not just about that. And they're making it about other people and serving. And so many of them have gone mission trips to Argentina or South Africa or around the world, and some just in their community, but the impact they're making, not just the games that they're playing. And I'm just so grateful we get to celebrate this, because it's one of few that really celebrates the impact and the heart posture and the love of their community. And that's what All-State's doing, and that's why I love being a part of it.
It's Pro Picks time. We went 3-0-1 straight up last week in the four-pack and 3-1 against the spread. Overall, the four-pack is 11-4-1 straight up, 10-6 against the number. My best bet, I've got 1-3 Houston at 1-3 Baltimore. The Ravens, I just mentioned, they're decimated by injuries. Now Lamar Jackson has a hamstring injury. His status is uncertain as of this recording. C.J. Stroud and the Texans, they saved their season last week. Baltimore has half of its defense probably not going to play. Both teams need this one, but it's going to be hard for the Ravens to overcome all those injuries. If it's Cooper Rush instead of Lamar, that's a major drop off. Texans 23-17. For my upset special, I'm looking at another pair of 1-3 teams. 1-3 Carolina getting 1.5 points at home against the 1-3 Dolphins, who got their first win but lost Tyreek last week. The Panthers routed Atlanta, and then they were blown out by New England. They're a team that's hard to figure. This is an important bounce-back game for Coach Dave Canales and quarterback Bryce Young. They're facing a team that's coming off short rest. Panthers 23-20. Speaking of short rest, the Broncos destroyed the Bengals on Monday night, but they got to hit the road, quick turnaround, face the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles are winning, though. The vibe that I saw around that team after they beat the Buccaneers in the locker room was a negative one. Jalen Hurts needs to find a way to get the ball to A.J. Brown. Some way, somehow. And A.J.'s going up against AP Defensive Player of the Year, Patrick Surtain, this week. I have the Eagles winning. They're at home. If the Broncos weren't coming off a Monday night, I might have looked at it different. But I do have Denver covering the 3.5. 24-23 Eagles. Last of the four-pack, I'm going Monday Night Football. Kansas City Chiefs, 3.5-point favorites on the road at Jacksonville. The Jaguars are 3-1. They're playing good ball under first-year coach Liam Cohn. The defense already has 13 takeaways in four games. They had 9 all of last year. But the Chiefs have turned it around. Xavier Worthy has kind of ignited, sparked that offense. Patrick Mahomes had 4 touchdowns against the Ravens. I like the Jags, but not in this spot. 24-17. Kansas City. That's it for this week. Thank you to Tim Tebow. Thank you for listening to On Football. And thanks to Haya Pinjwani for producing this episode. Please check out apnews.com for the full pro picks, on football analysis, and more NFL news.
Munich Airport was temporarily shut down overnight after several drone sightings in the area, the latest mysterious overflights in the airspace of EU member countries. Germany's air traffic control restricted flights at the airport shortly after 10 p.m. local time on Thursday and then halted them altogether, airport operators say in a statement. 17 flights were unable to take off, affecting almost 3,000 passengers, while 15 arriving flights were diverted to other airports. Flights in and out of the airport resumed 7 hours later. After the closure of the runways, federal police deployed helicopters and other means to try to track down the drones, but no signs of them could be found. Tens of thousands of Italians are hitting the streets as the country's largest unions call for a one-day general strike to protest in solidarity with Palestinian people and a Gaza aid flotilla blocked by Israeli forces. Protests have broken out across Italy since Wednesday night after the Israeli Navy intercepted the global Sumud flotilla, an international fleet of over 40 boats attempting to carry humanitarian aid to Gaza. While in Israel, anti-war demonstrators trying to enter the Gaza Strip through the fence are dragged away by Israeli troops and police officials. They're demanding that the Sumud aid flotilla be permitted entry to Gaza. In the wide-ranging attack, Russia fired a total of 381 drones and 35 missiles, according to Ukraine's Air Force, in what officials say was an attempt to wreck the Ukrainian power grid ahead of winter and wear down public appetite for the 3.5-year-old conflict. Serhiy Kuretsky, chief executive of Ukraine's state-owned gas company, says the multiple attacks have no military purpose. This, he adds, is deliberate terror against civilian facilities that provide gas extraction and processing for the normal life of people. Russia has recently escalated its strikes on the power grid, as well as on Ukraine's rail network, which is essential for military transport. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Detainees arriving at the immigration detention center known as Alligator Alcatraz in the Florida Everglades are given color-coded uniforms and segregated based on criminal history and flight risk. That's according to a handbook made public as part of a lawsuit over attorney access at the site. Civil rights and environmental groups have filed 3 lawsuits over conditions. In one lawsuit, civil rights groups argue that the facility operates outside federal law. They asked a federal judge in Fort Myers to stop the facility from holding detainees. A different federal judge ordered that it be closed in August for environmental reasons, but it remains open pending appeals. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
A running club in Los Angeles has expanded to include monitoring for immigration agents. The Huntington Park Run Club's Instagram carries posts warning of federal immigration agent sightings.
Getting people involved and letting them know their rights, knowing businesses what they can do, all that stuff. So I feel our community has been able to get together and make a stance against the entire rush that's been happening.
Marco Padilla says everyone in the community has felt the effects of the raids, regardless of their immigration status.
A lot of people have hidden away in fear. One moment you're chilling, and next moment you see a bunch of agents coming out trucks, running down after people that are out of Home Depot.
Evelyn Romo says the club is making a statement.
Continuing to take up space, even in the form of running in these streets, is a form of protest and it is a form of resistance.
The Huntington Park Run Club's members do not share their immigration status. They range in age as young as 11 to people in their 60s and 70s. I'm Ed Donahue.
An Associated Press analysis looking at immigration under former President Biden finds Florida was the state that absorbed the most, with nearly 1,300 migrants for every 100,000 residents, followed by New York, California, Texas, and Illinois. The data from U.S. Customs and Border Protection covers the time after COVID restrictions were lifted and before President Trump's declaration of a national emergency at the border. Many immigrants came to Florida because they had friends and relatives there. Miami was the top metropolitan destination, and Orlando is in the top 10. An American Immigration Council analysis finds the number of immigrants in Florida's workforce rose to 3.1 million, more than 27% of the workforce population. In an AP interview, Blanca, a former math teacher who crossed the border in 2024 and has applied for asylum, says her relatives told her Central Florida was a peaceful place where many people speak Spanish, but her kids have asked her not to take them to school for fear she will be detained. They call it the womb service. College student Maya Roman has it down to a science. Her student group runs a covert contraceptive delivery network at DePaul, a Catholic university in Chicago.
Students at DePaul do not have easy access to any kind of sexual health materials.
A text message, a walk, and a discreet handoff of a paper bag with condoms and Plan B emergency contraception.
Oh, okay. Condoms, Plan B, otherwise known as emergency contraceptive, sometimes lube, pregnancy tests, etc.
Catholic universities like DePaul, Loyola, and Notre Dame generally prohibit the distribution of contraceptives on campus or at health centers. Roman's student organization was banished last June over its affiliation with Planned Parenthood, but members continue to deliver a couple dozen orders each week and host sex education seminars, stepping in to fill what they see as a gap in reproductive health care and education for students of all faiths.
There will not be any stopping of the operations.
I'm Jennifer King.
Some Northern California police officers are perplexed after pulling over a self-driving taxi.
The San Bruno officer spotted a Waymo making an illegal U-turn, so they pulled it over, only to find there was no one behind the wheel, and thus no one to ticket. In social media posts that have gone viral, the police department says the officers were conducting a DUI operation early Saturday morning. That's when the Waymo made the illegal U-turn in front of them. But the San Bruno PD says officers can only ticket a human driver or operator for a moving violation. The officers contacted Waymo to report what they called a glitch. They're hoping reprogramming will prevent more illegal turns. I'm Mike Hempen.
The new landscaping crew at J-Peak take a lot of lunch breaks. Dozens of goats are grooming the slopes at the Vermont Ski Resort, munching overgrown vegetation before the first snows start.
This is the first time that I've put animals on a ski slope before.
The herd from Cloud Brook Grazing wear special collars that keep them inside an invisible fence and send data to owner Adam Ritchie.
Ideally, we can scale this up to the point where it's working well and then hopefully develop a model that can be used at other ski resorts as well.
The goats work slower than a weed whacker, clearing about 25 acres in a five-week stretch, but they're also part of an experiment facilitated by the Agritech Institute for Small Farms. The aim is to increase access to technology to help small farms stay in business while also mitigating climate change.
We are reducing carbon footprint. We're building soil.
I'm Jennifer King.
A team of excavators have found $1 million in treasure from a centuries-old Spanish shipwreck off a stretch of Florida known as the Treasure Coast.
Yeah, buddy.
The shipwreck salvage company, 1715 Fleet, Queen's Jewels LLC, says that their discovery includes more than 1,000 silver and gold coins, which they recovered over the summer, some with dates and mint marks still visible. The fortune was lost at sea when a hurricane struck a fleet of Spanish ships in July 1715. Over the years, millions of dollars in gold coins from the 1715 fleet have been found in that area. The salvage company's director says that finding 1,000 coins in a single recovery is both rare and extraordinary. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
A new study shows that a drug made from marijuana reduced back pain. The results from a German drug maker are the latest evidence that cannabis can be used to treat common forms of pain. In the study of 800 patients, those who received a liquid formulation of cannabis reported less pain, better sleep, and improved physical function. The company plans to apply for approval in the European Union and eventually in the U.S. Professor of Pain Medicine at Hanover Medical School, Dr. Matthias Karst, explains some of the impact.
So, like household things, like leaving the house, walking the stairs and sleeping during the whole night. They haven't been disturbed anymore by, you know, when they twisted or changed their position.
Cannabis remains illegal under U.S. federal law, but most states have legalized the drug for either medical or recreational use. I'm Haya Panjwani.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.